All right, let's get started. Kiyu, thank you so much for the host. I don't have alerts up. We're going to do without today. All right, and welcome to the first episode of Flavor Text. I keep forgetting
what we're talking about. Did you forget the name?
Off to a great start.
Yeah, like I have to look at it all the time. For some reason my stream just froze. I'm assuming that it's fine on everyone else's end. Let me know if it is not.
We will the video froze on my end. I'm refreshing to see if that fixes it.
Ooh, goodness. But thank you so much off to a good start. Well. Yep. It's what we expected. I got too much junk going on my computer is what it is. I usually don't have quite this much going on. Ooh, man, that's ugly. All right, guys, if you're in the chat, let us know how it looks. Hopefully it looks fine. If not, I know I've got some drop frames going on. Tell you what, this is, I'm going to end the stream real quick. I'll be right back. We're going to turn off FTL for this.
Yeah, we probably don't need FTL for this.
Don't need FTL for this at all.
We just need to make sure to give it a good, like, 30 seconds at the end to make sure it catches everything.
Yeah, and I'm used to doing that from when I had to. Okay, so now we're going to go back live. And we're back. So, thank you so much, guys, for hanging out. Nalek, thank you for the host. So, thank you so much, guys, for hanging out. And welcome to the first episode of Flavor Text. It's going to take forever.
Someday we'll remember that.
Someday I will remember the title of our podcast that we created together, the very first one, my very first one. But, all right, guys, so we've got a full docket today. Got a lot of topics that we're going to go over. First, let me introduce everyone. I am the RP Gent. Many of you probably already know me because I'm online a lot and I talk a lot. With me to my right on the stream, which is right there, is Unusual Renegade.
Howdy, I'm Unusual Renegade. You can find me under that name on Twitter, on Mixer, wherever. Those are really the only two places I'm active online, so.
All right. Also with me today is NalekDB. He is not on video, but his silky smooth voice will be coming at you in just a second.
The sultry tones of Jazz 107.9.
Both of these gents are in my stream team, the Altaholics. If you have not already followed them, you are doing yourself a disservice. Is my stream live? Can people see anything?
Yeah, you're live on my screen.
Okay, alright. It's just on my end then. Great. Yes, if you are not following these guys yet, please do so. You're doing yourself a disservice if you do not. Thank you for all the well wishes I'm seeing in the chat. So, without further ado, let's get started, guys. So, World of Warcraft, have you heard about it?
I heard it's a thing.
Is it a thing?
It's what I hear.
Just one quick thing. We are recording on Saturday, August 4th. At around 1:30 Eastern time.
That's important in case anything we predict completely falls through entirely.
So anything that happens after that period, we will not be covering.
Yeah. So at the end of this show, we will be making some speculations. I have some big speculations planned. So if we are wrong in those speculations, we put a post date on it. There's a date there. You know when we made our predictions. So it's not our fault. We're just trying.
I've already been spectacularly bad with one of my predictions.
I really want to hear it. I really want to hear it, but
we'll talk about it in the speculation. And I wasn't alone in this idea, but it just, they didn't go that route.
Guys, also if you're in the chat, let me know if the levels are good. I mean, this is a completely new scene and everything. So I want to make sure everything's right. But so, first up, we are going to talk about what's been going on in game, like not just the cinematics that have been going on. Obviously, we will get to those. Hey, kitty. But we will be talking about The War of Thorns, which has been what we've all been enjoying these past 2 weeks. Also, we will be covering Before the Storm. I think Ren's got some stuff to talk to us about that came about in Before the Storm.
Yeah, there are a couple little things in Before the Storm that are particularly important to game with the War Thorns. And there are also a couple things in the two novellas that came out with the special edition of Battle for Azeroth, which are Elegy and A Good War are the name of the two novellas, which supposedly will be made available to the public online for free soon. I don't know when Blizzard is planning on doing that, but if you are interested in getting into the deeper lore and some of the stuff that isn't portrayed in-game, I would suggest taking a look at that once they become available.
Discover! Hi!
So if you haven't heard, Battle for Azeroth is coming out in less than 2 weeks. The Horde and Alliance are at it again. They're veering toward all-out war, as has been done in the past. So we got to enjoy, in this pre-patch, some story content that ended in the tragic burning of Teodrassil. So, guys, how experience with the War of Thorns?
I played through both sides, and it was definitely interesting. I think one of the things I'm a little disappointed about with the way it's done in game, especially recently after the past couple days, going back and looking at some of the other stuff that has been revealed through the novellas and in some of the stuff that's talked about in Before the Storm, I'm kind of just disappointed that a lot of that didn't wind up in game. It felt like the stuff that happened in game was really lacking, and that there was so much going on behind the scenes that we should have known about as players, but instead of that being presented to us in game, we have to go look through these novellas for that information.
Okay, so like what? I mean, you were aware of some of the things going on in the novellas. What were you disappointed about? Because that's what we talked about a little bit off screen. You were on.
Well, one of the things, the biggest things, is the novellas go a lot further in delving into the reasons behind the war and Sylvanas's sort of motivations for doing what she does. I've noticed that, like, a lot of people have been calling out Sylvanas for being evil and her actions being not morally gray, as Blizzard has been talking about. But if you've been playing Horde for a long time and you've played through a lot of the Horde questlines, you know that this is not much new for Sylvanas.
Yeah, I didn't think it was new. Now, like, how was your War of Thorns experience?
First of all, can we talk about the title War of Thorns being a little derivative? Sorry, it's just I don't know. It's just a little overdone. Anyway, neither here nor there. We'll talk more about that later.
No, that's the kind of silly stuff we should get into.
Yeah,
this
podcast. Come on, War of Thorns. Was there nothing more original that they could come up with for the title of that? Can we? I don't know. Make more allusions to the War of Roses. Have we not talked about that war we talked about it ad nauseum in simile, in metaphor, George R. R. Martin's done it, Tolkien's done it, now WoW is doing it.
George R. Martin's still doing it.
He's still doing it. Well, he claims he's still doing it. Let's not even go down that road. Write the book, George. Okay, so
it's a different realm.
Yeah, totally different verse right now. So, but really, it's what I don't like, and I haven't read the newest book, so I don't have the background there. But with the storyline of Sylvanas, she's been a fan favorite character for a long, long time. The reason she's been a favorite is that she's so complex. I mean, originally, a ranger with Silvermoon, and then she fights Arthas and obviously loses, gets turned into a banshee. Then she frees the Forsaken and, you know, finds a home for them. They originally try to join the Alliance because most of them used to be humans.
Right.
And so they're not doing that now. They weren't accepted, so the Horde finally took them in. You know, not easily either. The Taurans had to freaking convince them to do it. So, I mean, there's all of that. She's got this rich, rich history. She's this huge, complex character. And then they stopped. Like, suddenly, she's a mustache-twirling villain.
Right.
And it was a switch that just got flipped. And if it's covered in the novellas, like, suddenly what shifted? Or maybe it's not a shift. Maybe this is some other plan. And obviously, Blizzard's sort of like, whoa, guys, pump the brakes. There's more coming. We haven't completely jumped the shark. At least that's what they're, I think, saying. Especially with the push of the soldier video with Sourfang that just got pushed out. I think before they wanted it to. So and playing in the game, it's like, I don't know. It feels very, to me, forced. It doesn't feel natural. Yeah. I'm with that voice of the WoW players that think this storyline's coming on just a little, you know, ham-fisted. Yeah.
I agree. I mean, she literally just, the way it came, and we'll get to this in the cinematic when we talk about Warbringers, but everybody kept telling me, oh, she's just misunderstood. I was like,
not really.
This is not the best writing for a villain.
I felt like one of the biggest issues with it was they did a really poor job of, like, portraying her motivations in-game. Like, if you go through and you, like, dig through some of the like, previous storylines and some of the stuff that's in the novellas and stuff, like, it gives a little more context to her motivations, but that's, like, none of that is portrayed in the storyline that you actually played through in the pre-patch event, which I think is probably the biggest failing, and that's why so many people are confused about why she's doing this and all that sort of stuff.
I'm messing with stuff. Hold on a second.
Well, you know, and I think it's definitely sort of veiled the whole, you know, the Azerite story about the you know, it being something they want to make sure that they control it, you know, where it goes and the transport and the shipment, and they don't want the Alliance getting their hands on it.
Yeah.
That part I totally get. And that part, I think, actually, maybe it wasn't highlighted as much as it could have, considering how important they act like it is.
Yeah.
And so that made sense. Okay, you need to control, Teldrassil. That's the number one access point for the Alliance to this resource. That's just good tactical maneuvering.
Yeah.
There's nothing evil there. That's military.
It's ruthless. Yeah, I understand that.
It's the end, the turn, the burning of the tree. You know, an elf said some things that hurt your feelings, so you burned a bunch of innocent people.
Yeah, it's petty.
It's kind of strange. It's weird because the Warbringers animatic that they released portrays that decision as very hot-headed and very emotional, but there's like some other information that's given in other sources that make it seem like it was a tactical decision by her, which, like, if that's the route that Blizzard wants to go, and then why isn't that what's happening in-game?
Right.
Why are we getting this vision in-game of her being a very hot-headed, emotional leader that maybe she's not?
Yeah, so of what you know from the other sources, like the novellas or wherever, what are Sylvanas' other motivations beyond Azerite? Like, she needs the Azerite. She understands that.
Yeah, let's dive into that. So one of the first things that's portrayed that's talked about in Before the Storm that isn't really addressed in game is that Azerite is really a big deal. And what it does is, like, when you hold it, it makes you smarter. It gives you it gives you these strategies and these ideas that you wouldn't think of normally. Like, if you've played through the Goblin starting area, they have this thing that's like Kajamite or whatever that sort of does a similar thing that, like, they turn it into drinks that when you drink it makes you smarter. But Azurite is like that, but on a whole nother level.
Okay.
So there's a moment in the book where when Gallywix hands it to Sylvanas, she holds it in her hand and like her brain gives her these visions of her as this like avatar of death, like taking over cities and becoming this true ruler of like the world sort of thing. And so that's something that's really not addressed in game, is how big of a deal Azurite is, because like through the in-game stuff, it's like, okay, there's this mineral that we found that's new that we can apparently make big weapons out of. And that's like all you get from the end game.
Yeah, it's a mulligan. I mean, like, this is your thing you're going to collect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is your new artifact power.
Right.
Yeah, which is, it's like, with what they're building it up as in other sources is like, well, then why don't we hear about that in game?
Right. So, yeah, I had no idea about the sort of enhancement of, like, internal, like, obviously, some things will increase your intelligence in-game. That's what gear does. But as like this mystical property of Azurite, I had no idea about that. So essentially, yeah. Azurite is portrayed as more important than we have led to believe, even in the novels and stuff. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
And as for Sylvanas's motivations for the war, a lot of it has to do with the events of the Stormheim questline in Legion.
Yes.
And the actions of Ghen Greymane.
Yeah, so in Stormheim, the Worgen and the Forsaken come to blows pretty hardcore. We kill Ghen Greymane's son. Is it in the storyline?
No, that's actually in the Worgen starting zone.
Yeah, it's in the Worgen starting zone. But that's good background because that's Ghen's motivation.
Yeah, that's why Ghen hates Sylvanas.
Yeah.
Sylvanas killed Ghen's son. Not just we, not the Horde, not the Forsaken. Sylvanas.
Right.
Yeah.
So in Legion, in Stormheim, Sylvanas is on this quest to enslave the Valkyr.
Aeir, yeah.
The Aeir. Okay, yeah.
Aeir. Aeir, if as I understand, actually is the one who controls ascendance to Valkyr. And
so she can create more.
Yes. And
which
Sylvanas is essentially immortal as long as she has what I've been led to believe is correct, and I may have the terminology wrong, but basically, she sacrifices Valkyr to come back when she dies.
Right.
She's died in the past.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But every time she dies, it takes more and more sacrifice to come back. Well, if she enslaves Aeir, she has an endless supply of Valkyr.
Hmm.
She's essentially immortal. She's hunting immortality. And that's why when Ghen smashes the lantern that she's using to enslave Aeir, he says, "You stole my future, now I've taken yours."
Right.
Yeah.
So Sylvanas is not very happy.
Right. And okay, so there's this new, like, I'm gonna cover a couple of tangents real quick. There's a new thing that you can read that where Sylvanas talks about the attack Ghen launched against her, the speculation is he never got authorization to launch that attack. That was unprovoked. It was Anduin didn't write off on it. He went rogue. I mean, he's a rogue, so. but I mean, he went completely rogue, and that's a big deal. But I want to back up just a touch because it fits right here. The prediction that I had that was completely way off base.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I actually predicted the way the storyline played out, and for what it's worth, I did not play the beta or the alpha. I had invites to both, and I'm sorry, I don't play I let somebody else fix the problems. I don't want to be frustrated. The release game frustrates me enough. So, I actually speculated that the tree would burn. I mean, everybody knew that was coming, but I thought maybe the reason it burned would be a little more shrouded, and I actually had a speculation that it was going to be Jaina that started the fire as a means of igniting the Alliance against the Horde, because if you played through Pandaria, there's actually a point where Jaina is losing it. She is ticked. And she, I think, I can't remember who it is she looks at. It may have been Varian Wrynn, but don't hold me to that. She looks and she's wondering what it's going to take for the Alliance to finally stand up against the Horde. And she says, what happens when they burn down the World Tree? Are you going to stand aside then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she specifically says, what are you going to do when they burn down Teldrassil?
Right.
And so I thought, hey, she's just following through on her word. Now I wonder, does she have some kind of prophecy we didn't know about?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting insight. Yes.
All right, so let's talk about the actual content of the War of Thorns. We can talk about the quality of it. I mean, I think it was fine. It was a little bit sparse. But I really, really like my hippogriff.
That was kind of entertaining, the ending of the Alliance side of the questline. It's like, you go up to Anduin, he's like, oh, I'm sorry your home burned down. Would you like a mount?
Right.
And the mount's name is the Burning Reins of the Teldrassil Hippogriff. I mean, I probably got this mount when I was in Darnassus. Okay, you didn't give me this mount. I mean, it was fine going back to Darkshore. I didn't pay much attention to what was going on. It seemed out of left field that Sylvanas was keen on killing Stormreach. I mean, I guess she just already decided Teldrassil was her target and decided she might as well kill one of the leaders while she was there.
Well, before Teldrassil was ever her target, she actually says, we need to kill Malfurion Stormreach.
Right. Yeah, she doesn't even, like, her initial goal is to kill him. The burning of Teldrassil was like a last minute decision.
That actually ties into some of the stuff I was going to talk about from the novellas.
Yeah.
Because that was part of her whole, sort of motivation for this strike on the Alliance. She wanted, like, originally, she talks about in the quest text that she wants to kill Malfurion to, like, strike a, like, precise blow against the Alliance that will just, like, cut them off from hope. Like, we'll just, like, cut off all hope from them and basically end the war before it starts. Which, obviously, winds up backfiring because the Alliance is all like, okay, they burned down Teldrassil, now we have to take the fight to them, sort of thing. But, anyway, in the novellas, it talks about the reason that she decides to burn Teldrassil is basically because Sourfang lets Malfurion go.
Right.
That's interesting, because in the gameplay, you don't feel like she knows that yet.
Yeah. Yeah. In the novellas, it is made very clear that she knows that Sourfang let Malfurion go. And so that, combined with the whole speech that she gets from the elf in the Warbringers animatic, she decides that, okay, we didn't kill Malfurion, so we haven't struck that blow to the Alliance.
Right, see, that makes sense now.
I have to do something else instead. And so she decides to burn down the world.
And the name of the elf who gives the speech at the end, it's left me right now. I should have written it down.
Dalaran, I think?
So, yeah, something like that. The fact that she used the words, you can't kill hope. And so now that all starts to tie together. I didn't even catch it the first time around. She wanted, she did. She says it in the quest text, because I was reading it out loud on stream. We have to strike, we have to, you know, kill their hope. And therefore we must kill Malfurion Stormreach. And then when that doesn't happen, which in the game you don't realize she even knows, Yeah, no, that all makes sense now.
Yeah, it does make more sense. I wish they had mentioned it somewhere. Well, I mean, and we think about this because it's been almost a week since Burning of Teldrassil happened, and Warbringers came out, but like I guess they really haven't had a chance to provide that information in the way that they wanted to, so I guess it's okay, but It would have been nice to know. I've agonized for almost a week.
It is like finding this information in like a source that's only made available to people who pre-ordered the special edition is like, okay, well, why is this in there and not in game? This seems like pretty important information.
Right. Okay.
Let's see. There was also something about it's possible that Ilune interfered with the battle with Malfurion and saved him, so that may be why he didn't die. That may be
Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm. There was no cue for that. Hold on one second. One second. Sorry.
It's okay. All right.
Where was I? There was no visual cue to indicate that, because like when Ilune interferes, you notice because in Legion she interfered a great deal.
With Ysera.
So I don't know. Maybe there is something to that.
There was the moment when Tyrande showed up and like there was like the beam of moonlight on top of Malfurion, but that was like it wasn't really clear if that was Tyrande's doing.
Sort of assume it was Tyrande because she was obviously there to rescue him.
Yeah,
but it may not have been.
May not.
That's interesting. That's an interesting.
Gets her power from Ilune.
Yeah,
being a priestess.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's also another moment where Ilune interferes when all of the priestesses of the moon are trying to evacuate Teldrassil.
Right.
They pray to Ilune, and she like puts them all to sleep so they don't have to feel the pain of being burned alive. So,
holy crap!
Because they straight up stayed behind. They did die.
Yeah.
Okay. So, where do the Night Elves go from here?
So, in that vein, where do the Night Elves go from here? This is a small aside. What happens to the Battleground Warsong Gulch next expansion? Are we just going to continue to play Capture the Flag like none of this ever happened?
That's a good question.
That whole region has been ravaged. Nothing where that battleground takes place is the same. Are we just going to keep doing this?
I think so. I mean, like, a lot of the...
I mean, I
a lot of the battlegrounds still feel like they take place in the past.
Yeah you're right.
I kind of doubt Blizzard will do anything to change that because it's such an iconic battleground. They might maybe change the textures of it or something.
Is there going to be a burning tree in the background?
Just something aesthetic. Yeah.
Because,
I mean, obviously, Darnassus and Darkshore aren't changed at all if you start as a Night Elf. I mean,
that's true. You're gonna go through the basic Teldrassil.
Yeah, I've been leveling a Night Elf on our RP server, so and nothing's different. It's post-Cataclysm.
Right.
Darkshore. alright. Is that it? Does anybody else have anything else they want to say about War of Thorns?
I think I'm alright there. I'm with Renegade and you. I think both of you said it. I feel like it was... I don't know, it was light. I mean, this big catastrophic event occurs, but at the same time, like, our participation in it felt like,
very minimal.
What did we do, 12 quests?
Yeah, and that's worth mentioning because, like, when I saw the cinematic before I played the second part of Teldrassil, like, or War of Thorns, I didn't want to log into my Horde character because I was afraid of what role my character was going to play that burning. And then you find out, it's literally, they just play the Warbringer cinematic.
Yeah.
Which is like, really... Okay, well, I don't feel guilty, but still, I wish there was more for me to do.
it really felt like, at least on the Alliance side, you had a quest where, like, okay, you react to the burning, you go...
Yeah, you have that extra quest. Although I only saved one person. I didn't get the mechanics of it. I totally messed that up. I saved one person.
But still, like, the Alliance had something to do that was, like, in response to this. Whereas the Horde, it's like, okay, we watch the cinematic, and then we're, like, sitting there, like, okay, now what?
It's done. Here's your mount.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me destroy a civilization.
Yeah. One thing that one more thing I think I will say on the novellas is that apparently something that's interesting is that it portrays like the Horde forces as a whole, like the rank and file seem to be on board with this war against the Alliance, because a lot of them have grudges against the Alliance and are excited to be fighting against them, because there are things like the internment camps for the orcs that people still hold grudges over, and all of the, and a lot of other stuff that the Alliance have done that have been particularly, you know, hurtful towards the Horde, that a lot of those rank and file members still remember. Yeah. And and that's something that doesn't really come across in game, because we don't really interact with the rank and file of the Horde very often. But according to those novellas, it's something that the general populace of the Horde are very on board with.
Yeah, I'm more of an Alliance guy at heart, apparently, even though I've been on the Horde for months. All right, so we're going to move on to the Warbringers videos. First of which, Nalak is very excited about, because he loves him some Jaina Proudmoore.
I love some Jaina Proudmoore.
In order to prep for that, we're going to play like 30 seconds of the Warbringers video, so stand by me. Mute. All right, and get back to where I'm supposed to be.
You know, it's interesting, right, so since I can't hear the video. It's...
We played till it said Blizzard Entertainment Presents.
Gotcha.
So, Jaina Proudmoore, probably need to go over some backstory a little bit first. She did not play a heavy role in Legion.
Yeah, she was very... very apparently absent through most of those events. Mm-hmm. Nalak, do you want to take over and delve into the backstory a little bit?
This is your realm.
Okay, so let's see what we can talk about. Jaina Proudmoore, for those of that have played long enough to remember when Theramore wasn't a, you know, rubble heap, it used to be, basically it was the only, besides Darnassus, we're going to ignore the Night Elves for a second. Aside from the Night Elves, Theramore was the only real Alliance presence on Kalimdor. The Kol Tiran settled it, and I'll be really honest, I don't know as much about the Kol Tiran as I really wish I did, because I'm just now going through the books, and so I'm learning some of that backstory.
What about the Draenei? Come on, Al.
Well, the Draenei came on way later.
Yes.
Yeah, they came long after Theramore had been established.
Burning Crusade.
Yeah, but like Theramore is OG original WoW.
Warcraft.
Like long before any of that, because that, you know, that was, if I remember correctly, it's where they first sailed, it's where they first settled, when they started to explore Kalimdor, which, you know, if we talk about it, somehow in their sailing to Kalimdor, they missed Pandaria, Broken Isles, all these other places we're discovering. We're going to talk about that crazy loophole. So they settled there. J- Jaina's dad was the leader, whose first name is escaping me. I'll find it. Hold on.
I think it's Daylan. Yeah, Daylan Proudmoore. Yeah,
Daylan Proudmoore.
Who was the Lord Admiral of, he was the ruler of Kul Tiras.
Yeah, so it's a seafaring people. They're, right. And some people have wanted to say, you know, they want to nationalize all the groups in WoW, and everybody says, oh, well, these people are this, and, you know, in a real-world sense. The best way people can really put them together is Kul Tirans are seafaring worgen before the worgen became werewolves.
Yeah, because Kul Tiras was originally settled by...
By Gilneans. So yeah, they're OG Gilneans is what they are. Just a little saltier. and so Jaina was there, and for a long time she was in Theramore until basically her you know, magical aptitude was discovered, and that's when she went to study with the Kirin Tor, and as we're learning, apparently, you know, some people thought of it as her abandoning them. When she is the rightful ruler after her father. So when Garrosh, you know, flies off the handle and I'm glossing.
Well, because I think the abandonment thing is more about her not being there when the Horde attacked Theramore the first time and killed her father.
Right. Wasn't but there the ahead. First time. And then, you know, she, and then after that, after her father died, she actually, if I remember correctly, and I might be getting my timelines way off because I'm groggy today, but I think after her father died, she actually is in Theramore. That's where you can find her as a character, in Theramore.
Yep.
And actually, she was a world boss that could be attacked that took like 40-man raids to be able to kill her kind of thing. It was insane. I've seen those battles. They were nuts. Because it happened in the top of a tower, and she had a massive AoE. So, yeah, you got to go back and find old videos of that fight.
Right. So, like, up to this point, Jaina's father led Theramore. He is killed in, what is an orc raid? He was kind of a racist. Like, he wanted to annihilate orcs. Like,
yes.
This was while the orcs were sort of veering towards good with Thrall and...
Yeah. So what happens is Jaina was at Theramore before her father was, and she had been negotiating with the orcs, and at one point her father showed up at Theramore, like, in the middle of one of these peace talks that she was having with the orcs, and he, like, killed a couple of the orcs, and shit went down.
So he dies, and then time passes, and she is, as you said, down, like, in Theramore after that. She wasn't really on her father's side with that. Obviously, she loved him and misses him, as it is still, like, she still thinks about him, as is shown in the Warbringers video. But, like, she was sort of settled with that.
Yeah, well, okay.
The Horde essentially screws that up.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So she and Thrall were actually pretty tight. They were pretty cool with each other.
Right.
And that was part of the alliance they were trying to build. And she opposed her father in all of those dealings. And I think even after his death, she opposed him in a lot of those dealings.
Right.
Well, the real problem came later when Garrosh led the Horde and destroyed Theramore.
Right.
Jaina managed to escape, and some other things happen. But so she escapes. She goes to Dalaran, and then, you know, she sits back and watches further and further. You know, she's already building this bitterness towards the Horde because of Garrosh. And even after Garrosh is gone, she's still holding the Horde accountable. And you know, you see when she opposes them when you bring them back into Dalaran, and she's like, I'm not going to be any part of this. But also in the battle on the Broken Isle when Varian Wrynn falls, when Sylvanas turned what the Alliance saw, Sylvanas turned her back on them and took away their support. She hears that side of the story because that's what Ghen Greymane saw.
Yeah.
So she's got this complete bitterness towards the Horde. Again, it's grown and grown and grown, and it's important that you bring up her dad's hatred of the orcs, Now go back and watch the video of Warbringers when she's on. She raises the ship and she turns and says, "I'm listening now, Father."
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, she has grown to hate the Horde, general,
right?
In general,
that's huge.
Just orcs.
That line means nothing if you don't know how her father felt about the Horde.
Right.
Yeah. It's also important to note that Ronan, who was the previous leader of the Kirin Tor, dies in the assault on Theramore.
That's right.
From Garrosh. And he was a very important figure in Jaina's life, so that also has a significant impact on her.
So, okay. So Jaina's going cray-cray. Sylvanas is going cray-cray. So and we've sort of already talked about Horror Warbringer's video. We can watch a little bit of it and keep talking about it if you want. But I'm starting to see this theme of the cray-cray women in WoW becoming the thing that they once hated.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I definitely see it. Jaina's becoming her father.
Sylvanas is becoming the Lich King.
Yeah.
Like, they are... And that's one of my theories about what comes up, what comes next for Sylvanas. But
yeah,
jumping on that, actually, do you have anything else to?
No, go ahead.
Before we get to predictions, is that where we're getting?
No. I mean, like, we can keep talking. We're still on Warbringers.
This might be a good lead in to predictions. But okay, so there's a comic that Blizzard released a little while ago called Three Sisters, which is about the three Windrunner sisters getting together at their old homeland and basically retaking their old estate.
Yeah, I read that one.
There's a very interesting moment because this is after Illyria has already done all of her void stuff. So she is getting whispers from the void throughout this comic. And there's a very interesting moment where when she first sees Sylvanas, the void is scared of Sylvanas and sees Sylvanas as a threat. Which has some very interesting implications for what the Void knows about Sylvanas and what Sylvanas might be doing in these.
Right, because what the heck scares a force that essentially wants to do away with everything?
Exactly.
Okay, so do we have comments that we want to bring up about Sylvanas and her warring? We've talked about a lot of that in the Warthorns.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much covered. I'll be really honest. I mean, everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
It is what it is at this point.
Yeah, we don't have to play. So, any more comments about Jaina?
I want to play Kul Tiran now.
I mean, yeah. There are other reasons I want to play Kul Tiran, because their druid forms look awesome.
Oh, forget that. Yeah. But I just want to be a pirate.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I plan to play a rogue Kul Tiran.
Rogue.
Yep.
The music in Jaina's Warbringers.
It's very good.
Video was amazing. Yep.
Daughter of the Sea.
It sent me on a week and a half binge of sea shanties. So
so good.
I was a little disappointed that Sylvanas' Warbringers video didn't have music in it, but
they set a precedent. Like, this is what you got to do every time now.
Hey, you still got one Warbringers video left to go, so.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that'll. We'll see. That's going to provide us some very interesting information.
Yes.
Lynch says, why did Sylvanas become Warchief, though? Like, they still had Bane, the Trade Prince, but Sylvanas, why her?
Because Vol'jin's.
Yeah, that was Vol'jin's decision. Yeah, the Loa told him to.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I trusted Vol'jin.
I don't.
So, like, is there something that we don't know yet?
Yes.
Yeah. He obviously knows something that we don't know, but do you guys, Analik, I don't know if you know, which Loa that Zul'jin or Vol'jin was particularly connected to?
I don't, but I can look quickly.
Aren't they polytheistic? Is it sort of like a poly thing?
Yeah, it's like a pantheon of Loa, but generally they have like one they're particularly connected to.
Here's something we can talk about. Zandalari Paladins.
I mean, I mean,
that would light, really cool. Light Loa are a thing.
They absolutely are.
Yes.
All right. I won't get off on that.
He specifically says the Loa spirits. He doesn't say one Loa.
So multiple. I mean, he was in touch with otherworldly beings, all of which were telling him that she was the way to go.
Right.
Yeah, which, I mean, maybe at the end of all this, we'll see that her actions led to something good for the whole of Azeroth, but
yeah,
at the moment, it seems maybe not.
Yeah, I got predictions. We'll go over. All right, Sarfang, you guys ready to do Sarfang?
Let's talk about Old Soldier.
While not, it's not a Warbringers video, we should mention that. It is not in that series.
Yeah.
It is a full cinematic, unlike the animatics that the Warbringer videos
and
are.
It's very good. It is
very good.
It's just so good. let's get out of the silly stuff out of the way. Zappy boy.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about what I've seen a couple of times on the forums and on a couple of Facebook groups and people speculating. A couple of people were saying they think Zappy Boy is Vol'jin's son. It is not Vol'jin's son.
Yeah, he is not. He says his father's name.
Hakazi. His father's name is Hakazi. Yeah. His name is Zekin. He is also not the same troll shaman that Anduin unleashes a shockwave on in the BFA video.
He's not the one that dies.
Right.
He is the one that sort of is in there. And,
yeah, he's in the BFA.
That's where he got his name from. He's Zappy Boy. So he was, I mean, I like seeing a younger generation, like, there's still, like, it was good to see that there are still some races, some people that are part of the Horde, who the Horde means something to.
Because
I think everybody really needed that after Warbringer Sylvanas.
Yeah, the Old Soldier definitely echoed a lot of the feelings that a lot of Horde players had after the Warbringers video, and I think it really restored a lot of people's hope in, you know, the Horde and what the Horde will end up being in Battle for Azeroth.
Zappy Boy, Sarfang, I've got predictions, which we planned on doing right after this, so if you guys want to comment on Sarfang.
I do have one comment that I really want to mention. I really liked the scene between Varrok and Dranosh, his son, in the post-ICC carrying his body away moment. Because, back in Wrath of Lich King, I was an Alliance player only. I think I had a Horde tune, but it wasn't max level. And so I didn't know the Sourfang storyline. I didn't really know anything about it. But there's that moment on the wall where Varian and Jaina are there, and they let Varrok take the body of his son away. Yeah. That scene's always kind of stuck with me, maybe because the RP took forever, but whatever.
It was such a powerful moment, though.
Yeah, and so I really like that they finally wrapped that up for me. Like, I know what happened after that now. In-game. I didn't have to read a novel. I didn't have to read, you know, any...
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's ever covered, but...
Yeah.
I really like that moment.
For anyone who doesn't know, Varrok's son, Dranosh Sourfang, was the leader of the Horde forces in Dragonblight in Wrath of Lich King, and he was killed in the events of the Wrathgate, where Putrescide basically threw blight on both the Alliance and Horde forces when they were assaulting Lich King. And then afterwards, he was raised by the Lich King and made a raid boss in Icecrown Citadel.
Yes.
And then
named Deathbringer Sourfang.
Yeah. And then when you kill him, both the Alliance and Horde forces are there, and in a surprising act, Varian allows Varrok to take the body of his son away. So.
And also,
most of the Alliance upper echelon still have honor.
Oh, well, since we're talking Bay and Jaina, Jaina's there and she actually starts to cry when Varian makes that move. And Varian says, "Why are you crying?" And she says, "Because I'm proud of my king." It's like she was she liked the compassion towards the Horde in that moment, to show how far she's transitioned.
Just shows how much she's changed.
Yeah.
How much she's been through. And I understand it. Sylvanas, I still don't understand. Like,
We
understand you were killed before your time, and you really hate the Lich King, but wouldn't that mean you hate, like, other undead?
Okay, and I'm gonna.
What's your beef with the living? I mean, look, come on.
I'm gonna. Okay, and I know we're trying to move fast, if we're trying to get to predictions, but I need to bring this up because I need to voice what a lot of people have shared their frustration. Who the heck goes into a knee slide melee range against the Lich King when you're a freaking ranger?
Yeah, I saw some comments while another streamer was watching the video, and he's like, "That was a rookie move. She should have stayed range. She was going up against somebody in plate."
Right. Not only in plate, on horseback.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're a marksman hunter, and you gave up your range advantage to do a cool power slide against the Death Knight.
It just doesn't make any... A mounted Death Knight. We won't even talk about the tactical warfare nature of cavalry versus ground units.
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to be symbolic, but... just funny. Okay.
So, honestly, she deserves anything that happened to her at that moment for that move.
All right. Predictions. Does anybody have any real big predictions for what's coming in BFA?
I have some interesting speculations based on what Sylvanas is doing and all of that. So based on what Sylvanas is doing, what she sort of saw in the Power of the Azurite, and what the Void whispers to Illyria in the comic, I think it may be possible that Sylvanas winds up killing an old god. Whether that happens or not, who knows? Maybe she's doing it in search of immortality, who knows? But the fact that the Void is so terrified of her leads me to believe that she's going to do something that is extremely detrimental to them.
I never consider that. She may be aware that the old gods are about to come back and is just making plans. I don't know. I don't understand how killing hope during that fixes that problem, but, you know.
Yeah.
Now...
A lot of my predictions actually have to do with the boss Ilganoth in the Emerald Nightmare. I want to talk about a couple of the with things he whispers in that fight. Some have happened, some haven't. And some, we still don't know exactly what it's going to mean. So I'm going to talk about the random. Like, he has all the things he says when you're in the fight, but he has some random things he says that have nothing to do with the fight. And if you're familiar with Ilganoth is a pretty unique boss in that dungeon, as Ilganoth is what they call manifestation of horrors. He's a corruption. But if you look at the way he's made, eyeballs and tentacles, he's really reminiscent of old gods.
Yeah.
So
he's absolutely a manifestation of the old god.
Yeah.
Power.
So there's this old god presence inside of this, you know, nightmare corruption. So that they don't go together. That's a different thing. So it's weird.
I was under the impression that the nightmare was caused by the old gods.
Okay. I wasn't under that impression, but that doesn't sound unreasonable. So what happens is Ilganoth starts spewing these whispers randomly. A couple of them I'm going to go through all of them. There's about 10 of them here. I'm going to go through quick. Flesh is his gift. He is your true creator. I have no idea what that means. There's another one. He says to find him, drown yourself in the circle of stars. A lot of players have actually been searching for whatever the circle of stars is. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Now this one I think is important. The King of Diamonds has been made a pawn. That's obviously a reference to Magni. I mean, it's not even that cryptic. But what's he been made a pawn of? The old gods? The Void? Azeroth? I mean, don't know.
I would think it refers to the old gods, because the old gods are actively corrupting Azeroth, and he listens to Azeroth and is like basically a servant of Azeroth. So if the old gods are corrupting Azeroth, they definitely have some connection to him.
I could see that. I definitely could see that. And so, but there's still some speculation as to what that all means. Does that mean he's, you know, out of the picture as a force? I don't know. Lord of Ravens will turn the key. Lord of Ravens, I think it's obviously Khadgar.
Yeah.
There's the whole Raven with Karazhan and the staff, Attash, that he carries, and he takes the form of a Raven.
It's also possible it could be referring to Medivh, though I find that less likely, because there is some part of Medivh that is still around in Karazhan, because Khadgar specifically says he's going to go, like, I'm going to go talk to the Shade of Medivh that still exists in Karazhan and see if he has any insight. So.
Yeah, but I just don't see him still being substantial enough to take that role in this, like, weird
prophecy.
That
definitely seems less likely.
So there's another one that says, the boy king serves at the master's table. Three lies will he offer you. Now, a lot of people are taking that to mean Anduin. Obviously, boy king, that feels right.
Yeah. He's also been directly called the boy king.
Yeah, he has been directly called the boy king. But I also, at the master's table, three lies will he offer you. Will the master offer three lies? Is the boy king offers three lies? And I think important to note, throughout this entire expansion, we've completely lost track of Rathian.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Rathian is Deathwing's son.
Yeah.
Like a dragon?
He's one of the two surviving uncorrupted black dragons. And Ebonhorn.
That's it.
And we haven't heard from him.
And we just discovered Ebonhorn even exists. So Rathian doesn't know Ebonhorn exists, and Ebonhorn may not know Rathian exists. Rathian played a part in a Mists of Pandaria, and he's been around, but he sort of disappeared laying low for a little bit. But he's ultra-powerful, not necessarily evil, unless he's corrupted.
He is definitely a neutral player that has only been working towards his own goals, so I hope he shows up in Battle for Azeroth, because I really want to see more about him, because he's just been dropped since Mists of Pandaria, pretty much.
I don't even care what capacity.
Yeah.
Just bring him back. Give me something. Here's the one I really wanted to touch on, and we'll talk, actually I'm going to skip it real quick, we're going to go to the others real fast to come back to this one, because I think this is the one that we need to talk about the most. Five keys to open our way, five torches to light our path. I think that means the, what were they even called? The things we collected in all the zones.
Pillars of creation.
Yeah, the pillars of creation. I think that's what that means.
Okay, yeah.
And then the next one is, at the hour of her third death, she will usher in our coming. Some people are thinking that's Sylvanas. I don't think that's Sylvanas. She's died way more than three times. So, I still haven't figured it out.
Read it again.
It says, at the hour of her third death, she will usher in our coming. I think it could mean... I think there's a couple of people it could mean. I think Illyria is possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of when she disappeared... As a figurative death?
As a death? Yeah.
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 And then...
Everybody assumed them dead.
And then when she took on the void as maybe a death? I don't know. I'm really stretching here. But here's the one that came to me today that I'm actually starting to put my stock in. Chromie.
Really?
Yeah. It just struck me today. Nobody said it. I haven't heard it anywhere. But, I mean, we even have a scenario, the many deaths of Chromie or something along that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have nothing to really base that on. I think that would be interesting if the death of a major player in the, you know, the Bronze Dragonflight, dies, ushering in the old gods. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, that interesting. I think there's a lot of stock that you can put into it being Illyria, though. Especially because at one point she mentions that she knows she's going to eventually fall to the void.
She does, you're right.
She's had, like, visions of that before, and she knows, like, at some point she's going to either, you know, die or be mortally injured or something and fall completely to the void, which I think, especially with how powerful she apparently is, could be a major point for that.
I agree. So these last two I'm going to just gloss over, because I think there's a lot here that we can come back to, especially as things start happening. There's another one that says, from the earth he draws strength, our earth, our strength. And it also says, its surface blazes bright, masking shadows below. I think that's Azeroth. It's just... The shadows are below Azeroth in the heart of it.
I've noticed a lot of people talk about that one possibly being Teldrassil.
Yeah.
But maybe. I don't know how much stock there is in that.
Yeah. But here's the one that I think is most pertinent to us today. You know, we've gone over all of them. They'll come back, I'm sure. Her heart is a crater, and we have filled it. That one and the two major players that everybody is immediately speculating are... Now, some people said Azeroth itself. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's either Jaina or it's Sylvanas.
Or it's Illyria.
See, maybe. But
I mean, Illyria seems pretty well adjusted.
Yeah, like the heart is a crater part, I think, doesn't fit.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit Illyria very well.
Like, but, I mean, she's a void elf, but she's happily married. She's reunited with her son.
Yeah.
Yeah, her heart's not really a crater.
No, Jaina's is. Sylvanas's is. Maybe it's both.
I think based on the comic that deals with Sylvanas, I think Sylvanas might be less likely.
Okay, so the saying means both, but he is addressing either Alliance or Horde. So he's saying the Alliance, Jaina's heart is a crater, and he's saying to the Horde, Sylvanas' heart is a crater.
I think one or both of them have been,
I think they're going to be the leaders.
Yeah, I think their sadness they feel. I don't know. It's because I had a thought. It's gone now.
They're being manipulated by the old gods. I think
they're definitely.
I think Sylvanas is less likely to be the subject of that, just because of how apparently afraid the void is of her.
That's true,
but I mean, there's still a possibility there for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to my predictions I've been sitting on. And this is nothing like I've watched the cinematics. I've played the Legion content and this new pre-patch content. All of my predictions are based off what I believe good story writers would do. So
giving a lot of credit.
Like, if I was in the story writing chair, this is where it would go. And the first thing that would happen as soon as we get into BFA, is Lordaeron coming out next week, or is it at the beginning?
I think it'll be next week, but I could be wrong.
I think it'll be next week.
I think Stourfang dies in the Siege of Undercity.
I can straight up tell you that he doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's not going to die.
All right. I think he dies sometime soon, and I'll tell you why. WoW is speculative. Like, everybody wants him to be War Chief, and as a good story writer, I would take that away from them. I think he dies, and I think Sylvanas uses his death as fuel for the fire against the Alliance. Giving us motivation to continue the war the same way she did with Vol'jin versus the Legion, except that was a little bit more legitimate.
Yes.
And I think that she continues to go down a darker and darker path until people like Bane, possibly Thrall, returns and sort of tries to oust her towards the end of the content, probably towards the release of one of the raids. I think she may be a raid boss, after which I think we will discover that she's been influenced by some... They're going to make her influenced by someone, probably the old gods. And then I think we'll probably do some stuff with her, and then she'll probably sacrifice herself against the old gods, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. As far as who's going to be the next war chief, I think it'll be somebody likable. Either Bloodhoof or Thrall. Although I am starting to like Sarfang. I think he's going to die.
Well, okay.
It may not be very soon. That's my biggest predictions, because what I've been seeing a lot is people speculating on who's going to be the next War Chief. So that's what I've been addressing in my predictions.
All right. Well, as sort of a counter prediction to that.
Okay.
A lot of people have been talking about how it seems like with this setup, the Blizzard is sort of setting up Sourfang to be the next War Chief. And I've seen a lot of speculation about that. I saw one particular post that was that presented some really interesting ideas. There's this like cycle of hatred between the Alliance and Horde because mm-hmm. of everything that's happened, and parties on either side believe that there's no end to that because there are a lot of grudges held and all that sort of stuff. So my speculation, which mirrors that of this post that I found, is that the only way this cycle of hatred can end is if the Horde does something to, like, promote that. And so what I think is going to happen is the Sylvanas is going to lead the Horde against the Alliance and crush them and do a lot of serious damage and a lot of, like, really morally questionable acts and a lot of, like, horrible stuff. And the Alliance is going to get beaten down by that. And then something's going to happen. Maybe it's Sourfang, maybe it's someone else. Someone from the Horde is going to come up and be like, hey, this isn't right.
I think it's Zappy Boy.
Yeah.
Zappy Boy's our savior, Sourfang's going to die, and Zappy Boy's going to save us.
Well, I think this is... Okay. There's a thing that happens in the Siege of Lordaeron scenario that leads into this and why I think this, but I don't know if I should say it because it's very spoilery.
Nope, it's not out yet.
All right, I won't say it, but I think it's either... I think it could go either way because, one, Sourfang seems to be really done with everything, especially from the old Soldier cinematic where he's basically trying to commit suicide via the Alliance.
Right.
He has
death by cop.
Because he has constantly sought this, you know, honorable warrior's death that is such a huge thing in Orc culture and has consistently been denied it. So I think it could be possible that maybe he just gives up and dies or does the same sort of thing, suicide by cop again. And maybe that's how he goes and somebody else does it. But I also think it's possible that maybe he doesn't do that and he survives and he sees, especially with the way the old Soldier cinematic ends, with him sort of being like inspired by Zappy Boy and his connection to the Horde and all that sort of stuff. Maybe he gets his honor for the Horde and loyalty to the Horde rather than just the War Chief reignited and realizes that he can, you know, bring it back to its former glory by dismantling Sylvanas and her regime.
All right. Well, Nalik has got a schedule to keep. And I
will add this though, real quick.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
We basically, I think it's really important since we brought up Thrall. Thrall basically appears twice in this entire expansion.
Yeah.
He appears in the enhancement shaman storyline, or in the shaman storyline, but specifically in the enhancement when
you're talking about Legion, right?
Yeah, Legion. He gives you Doomhammer because he says that the elements have stopped responding to him, at least the same way, ever since he killed Garrosh. And he shows up again, and this is where I find it very interesting, because, you know, Thrall, ever since he gave up the Warchief mantle, has been sort of neutral.
Yeah.
He's been neutral.
Yeah, he's been trying to avoid going back into it.
When you get to a certain rank of prestige, and if I thought about this, I'd have it in front of me as we say it. When you get to a certain rank of prestige, you're given a reward, and Thrall is part of the council that rewards you.
Really?
Yes. So he shows up to give you a PvP reward.
Interesting.
So yeah, I think it's subtle, it's small, but it's there. So I think they're actually really pushing, because while you said, here's what I would do if I were the writers, you're writing for interesting storyline. If I'm writing for mass appeal, I bring Thrall back, because Thrall is a fan favorite, and I put him back in the mantle of Warchief.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys, we're going to call it there. At the same time next week, guys? You think?
Yeah, works for me.
Yeah.
All right, well.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. We will do this again next week, where we will talk about whatever goes on with the new content coming out, and probably the third Warbringers video and anything else they throw at us. So, thank you so much for tuning in, guys. I personally am going to go take a break probably for half an hour to an hour, and then I will be back playing some more WoW. Anybody else doing anything stream-wise today or soon?
Not today. Not tonight.
All right. I'm going to shout both of these gents out. Go follow Unusual Renegade and NalekDB right now, if you have not already. Shame on you. Go do it right now. And we will see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.